This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Welcome to the final episode of the One Was Had a Dream podcast of this season, not the final episode ever. We'll discuss that in the summer and see if me and Danny really do fancy coming back next summer. But yeah, this is the season finale. We'll be discussing Walsall. The players retained list came out on Monday, so we'll be discussing that. We'll talk about next season, what we think we need with regards to our retained list, our early predictions. And also, Danny has the, we have to crown the Prediction League winner. And yeah, well, that's it pretty much. There's no preview of any games. We'll say a few thank yous and then yeah, we'll be back in the summer. But we were meant to have a guest. Unfortunately, young George can't join us. He's unfortunately been called off for other stuff. Hope everything's all right, George. But yeah, we have Danny Baker with me. Danny, how are we? We good?
I'm absolutely marvellous, mate. Apart from the weather, thunderstorms waking me up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Absolutely terrifying. I mean, I live sort of near the Democratic Republic of Croydon, so it could have been, you can't write anything off as far as what it could have been, but I was guessing it was thunder. Yeah, a bit of mixed emotions, really, because like, I've quite enjoyed the season, loved doing this, and it's been great. But at the same time, it's sort of kind of nice to know that we've got a bit of a break coming up and a bit of a reset and a... you know, and get stuck into the cricket and stuff. So, yeah, sort of, how are you feeling, more importantly? You put a hell of a lot of work in. Are you kind of, you know what, it's been great, but looking forward to a couple of months of a bit of a breather? How are you feeling?
I'm looking forward to a break, to be fair.
Yeah.
I'm not with you on the fact it's been a good season. I think it's been quite a long season. I don't think it's been as good as everyone has made out recently on social media and stuff. For me, this was a playoff squad and we've fallen short. But everyone keeps saying about, well, how bad it was last year and stuff like that. We've got to look at the positives. But yeah, I think we've fallen short. But yeah, I'm looking forward to how I didn't even do the debrief on Sunday, to be fair. I'm just knackered now. Just, do you know what I mean?
I think a lot of people sort of, it's really interesting because you were talking earlier about meeting a few people on Saturday. And I think some people forget how simple we do it in the way that we do it, but also the kind of the legwork that you and obviously, you know, in between as Joe does to kind of get all the graphics up and stuff. It's sort of, it's quite a lot of actual to keep things busy and engaging. And obviously I just rock up every week and talk nonsense and go, you know? So for me, I'm kind of like, yeah, it's nice to get, you know, my evening back occasionally. And but for you in particular, you put so much graft on, and I guess it doesn't really stop, does it? Because, you know, we buy a player, it, you know, that goes up, and it's kind of, yeah, it's just it's a weird sort of time. It's sort of, yeah, I kind of always feel a bit weird this time of year, but I guess at the same time, it's a good summer with the Euros and
we have
the Olympics. By the time you blink, you're back in it.
We have got the Euros, and I'm looking forward to some. I'm looking forward to having at least a month off without actually worrying about Wimbledon. And then it all starts with the summer transfers. Do you know what I mean? Don't get wrong. I do love this time of year when
who's out, who's not.
I come into my own when the summer transfers and I start getting rumours and I start speaking to people, people I know within the football game and stuff, and they start telling me things and I can put stuff out, and I do love the old eyeballs and stuff. And I know certain people and certain fractions hate the fact that we get information, but it is what it is. Do you know what I mean? So I love spreading rumours, and you know, it gets people excited for the season. Do you know what I mean? If, you know, a player's signing or we're after a striker here, like the January window just gone was one of the most exciting we've had. Do you know what I mean? With Ali going, with Kelly coming in, nearly getting Tojad, whatever his name is, from Aldershot.
Balash.
And I do look forward to it. I've bought season tickets for next season, me and my boy. Yeah, we've been a couple of years without them, so I'm going to hopefully get to a lot more home games next year. Not a big fan of, not Plough Lane as such, but home games, really. It's a ball ache for me to get to.
Yeah.
And the football's not been great, but I do miss not seeing my mates and staff. And as I said to you beforehand, I met a few people on Saturday. Gary Buss bought me a nice drink, so that was good.
Lovely.
He wanted to speak to you, but I said...
Oasis Tropical? Tropical Oasis, was it?
I had a Guinness, mate. Good domage.
Oh, of course you did.
Good bit of domage on it, considering it was in a plastic glass. The shtick was not bad, and the head went all the way down. So, yeah, I was quite happy with that. Good bit of Guinness. So I'm a Guinness connoisseur, aren't I?
I forgot.
I've been to Dublin once.
Yeah, you've been to Dublin once. Yeah, I forgot.
I can't remember the names, to be fair, but I met three lads in the lift going up to the Silver Lounge, and they were saying how thankful they are.
Look at you. Any paparazzi? Just, you know, papping you up.
It is funny. My boy stands there and he's like 15 and he's like, gets quite embarrassed.
And does he?
To be fair, you know what I mean? We're not, it is nice it's nice that people listen. If you like it, if you don't, but people are listening and that's the main thing, and people appreciate what we do. And a big appreciation, we should probably do it at the end really, but Joe and the hard work that he puts into the graphics and putting stuff out on WOD Media, Twitter and stuff. And yeah, some of the stuff I put out on Twitter don't always get us in a bit of trouble sometimes.
Oh, really?
It's always good luck.
Where did that kind of hypothesis come from?
Oh, I love it though. I love it. It's like today. Have you seen today when they put out about Johnny Jackson's glittering CV? And then you look, he's only had one club before us as manager. And then they've changed it to footballing CV. And even his footballing CV ain't great, to be fair. But it's just some of the words that we use sometimes to big up things. I think it's just the day and age we live in, social media. Do you know what I mean? We have to, everything has to be a little bit better than it actually is, where his CV is okay. I wouldn't call it a glittering CV, but
it is. We are kind of in, we're hugely in sale mode, aren't we? Like the amount of different events, which is, to be blunt, exactly what we've needed. We've been talking about utilising Plough Lane more. And
we're massively utilising it, though.
Yeah, we are now, yeah.
Did you see that they were filming down there this week? I don't know what they were filming.
I don't know what they were doing.
Sunday just gone, they had, you know, I've spoke to you about it before, the YouTube football, Baitis versus SC Dons.
Yeah.
They played a game, 3,000 fans.
Yeah, I heard about that.
YouTube game, a London Cup game. 3,000 fans. And a load of their fans run on the pitch after to celebrate, which I'm not 100% sure. Our chief security, the man with small man syndrome, would be too happy about them. Hopefully banning orders will be put in place, as if Wimbledon fans had done that, it would be the case. Do you know what I mean? Treat one the same as everyone else. But yeah, it was good that, yeah, the YouTube game was 3,000. That's quite a good crowd for that.
Anything coming into the club and using us and stuff. And
it's everywhere. There's adverts. You see adverts pop up on my... There's a Monday Owl advert with the geezer from your country. Do you remember your country?
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, it's wicked. Him.
This country.
This country, sorry. Yeah, that's it. That's at Plough Lane, that advert. And yeah, I think Jonesy's in the most recent one regarding the making of the kits and designing of the kits. But yeah, that's at Plough Lane, that is. And Plough Lane's everywhere at the moment, which is what it should be. It's a community hub. It's a beautiful stadium. As I said, I've got no problem with the stadium. I've got no problem with the bar. I told you before, I went into the Silver Lounge on Saturday, weren't overly keen on it. It's not my cup of tea, that kind of corn sandwich brigade. And
but it is difficult hospitality. It's not, it isn't for everybody. And it's sort of like,
I'm not the target market. I get that.
No.
I'd rather be in the, and as I said to you, we have got the Phoenix, which is the pub, and the DJ was playing and everyone was having a good time in there. And that's more my cup of tea. And I enjoyed that. And, Plough Lane's good. I just wish it was, maybe we should franchise it to Southend and then I could be a bit closer to it then.
Not that, is it?
Well, I can't move to Wimbledon. You're having a laugh with them prices.
So you're there Saturday then, coming in.
You missed one of the best games of the season.
Gutted. I mean, I won't lie to you. It's been a very ill house the last week. Mum's not very well. Wife's been off all week. Little girl's not been in and out of it or being sick. It's been pretty savage, to be honest. But I managed to get a very, very late flight. Just Alfredo's, you know, in Gibraltar. Yeah. Sort of went across there and... luckily just got on it nice and quick, private jet, you know, I just got an early payday. It actually was annoying because it kind of was like the way we've been wanting us to play for absolutely ages. It's kind of everything we've been talking about, get the ball down, try and play, work it round, and we did it. And you know, Boogiel was fantastic. It was hat trick, he was good, great finish from Curtis. Like he continues to baffle me in terms of be in games and not be that influential, but just have that star quality. That, okay, in you go. So anything in that area, I would say everyone else on that pitch is smashing that over the bar. For him, it's right in the corner. And it just seemed to be a really fantastic end to the season. But it left me just with like so many questions. do you know what I mean? Kind of that. It's like watching one of them poxy films where you know there's a second one coming, like in a year's time. It's like, why have you left that one for?
It was my most enjoyable game of the season. Yeah. Because I think, again, there was no pressure in it. And I think Walsall fans were good value. There was one bald guy who kept giving it. And then we had like literally half of our section, even kids joining into a song of Baldy's on the Spice. And he was dancing around to it. And every time a Walsall fan was on the way out, we'd go, oh, do the hand thing. And then if they stuck two fingers of us, we'd start cheering. And then and then they would stop doing it and waving instead. But yeah, it was good banter back and forth from us and the Walsall fans. It was nothing like sinister or anything like that. It was just banter and stuff. And to be fair, if you're getting beat 5-1, I'd have been long gone by then. But one of my mates is quite funny. One of my mates, Al, said that he sent a message to the group saying these bunch of players are a bunch of cowards because they played like we wanted them to play the last few weeks.
Right.
They've turned up. I think it's a bit of an overreaction, to be fair. Maybe had a few too many beers in the pub. But yeah, because of the way we played, that was exactly what we've been saying for the last few weeks. I thought Josh Kelly was excellent. We played to his strengths.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? He was... got behind. Bugle has been excellent for the last, since Ali's left. You said the goal, I think Curtis's goal, comes off Bugle's head quite quickly and then he just bangs it in. Thought we were decent at the back. Bournemouth's still an issue for me at right back. Don't get the fact that we've still got two under contract and none of them played on Saturday.
That was bizarre, wasn't it?
Yeah, I didn't get that, but and the fact that Jono, there was loads of rumours after the game that Johnson, Ryan Johnson, his missus was homesick, and big rumours.
He put that right, didn't he, on Twitter?
Well, it's funny because everyone I spoke to, and I mean, this is from different, not just the normal, but this was everyone I spoke to was like, have you heard Johnson's missus? Excuse me, missus is homesick and he might have to move back up north. Do you know what I mean? And all that. And we're like, oh no, that can't be the case. That's maybe why we're after Bournemouth to bring him in as a centre back pairing. And then obviously, he's put see you next season. I've tweeted going, oh, don't sound like he's leaving. And then he's like, no chance. She loves it down here, which, yeah, hopefully he'll probably be gone in the summer now. But yeah, there was literally everyone I spoke to was like, Johnson's leaving this summer. I was like, oh no, because I think he's wicked. Love him. I love his calmness.
What was it? I think one of the big things for me, although Barmer played all 90 minutes, you know, there were long throws, but it wasn't like total saturation, you know, of like loads of long throws. It just seemed to be a much more considered approach. And like I said, it just seemed to be us actually getting the ball down, looking to play. It did help that they seemed to defend really high. It was like, okay, we could be in here.
Well, they had to go for it, didn't they? I thought they were really poor, to be fair. I like Hutchinson.
I was going to say, I thought he was very good.
He
would be someone decent.
The right back.
I've always liked Jamil Matt, but I think he'd be a really good forward for us, but he might probably, I think he's might be a little bit punchy for what we're after. But yeah, I thought it was, again, it was just a shame. It kind of left me a little bit, where was this group?
Yeah.
Where was this performance?
Where was the style of play?
Eight weeks ago. I mean, to be fair, since, like you said, I wasn't enamoured with the Notts County situation when we played them. I was like, we're okay, but we kind of, wouldn't say scuppered it. I guess if you want to put it in a different way, it came across of this is what we're like with a handbrake off. This is us, you know, everyone seemed to relax and passing the ball about. And it just seemed to be that, you know, the players were enjoying the football. We were dotting it about. We played some nice stuff. Yeah, it was just a really good game. I still don't know what happened with their penalty. It looked nonsense to me.
Yeah, it was from where I was standing, it looked like a total.
He
looked like he literally just touched him. He goes over and no one even expected the ref to give it because it was it wasn't a foul. It was very soft.
The player was looking. I think it was Barmer. He was just running and he wasn't even looking at the ball. Was it ball? He was actually looking at the ball and then the guy just ran into him. He tripped over and it was like right penalty.
Yeah, very weird at the time. I thought Ball was good on Saturday, to be fair to him. As I said, he's been a bit in and out. But his touch for one of the goals, when he brings it down, I think it's the Curtis goal as well. I think he's involved in that way. He just brings it out of the sky.
I thought I had a really good game again. It's Brown. I thought he was sensible. I think he looked to him. I don't know what's going on with Lewis. I don't know if they've just decided, look, Lewis, have a breather or get down the beach or whatever. I don't know. I don't really, to be honest, listen much to Johnny Jackson's interviews and that sort of stuff because I find it all a bit pointless and a bit tedious. I don't know much about Lewis. Obviously, Bill is the only one on the bench who didn't get on, which again probably tells you all you need to know. It was just interesting. But I thought Brown, obviously, he set up one of Boogiel's headers. Boogiel kind of showed again, you know, his quality. And again, like I said, with you know, Curtis's finish was outstanding. I didn't feel like he had a particularly unreal game, but he was busy and, you know, popped up when he needs to. And he has scored some really important goals. He's obviously got the Midas touch when it comes to goal scoring.
Do you think there was a bit of luck in it? Because I see some people say, like, the stats, if you look at the stats, we had 52% possession, so we weren't...
What, luck in terms of the game?
Well, the fact that we had total shots was 6 and we scored 5 goals. Do you know what I mean? Everything we hit went in. Do you know what I mean? So I know other than that, we didn't really have many chances other than the 6. So, do you know what I mean? On another day, Walsall, after the third one goes in, their heads proper dropped and I don't think they had another chance.
I mean, I thought, don't get me wrong, they weren't brilliant at all.
They were very poor.
And again, they, because if I'm right, they were still just about in the hunt before the game and they completely fluffed their lines.
They needed to win by 3 in it or 4, say 4-0, and then the other Barrow lose 3-0, and they could have got in the pass, which could have still happened. But yeah, for a team that needs to go and get goals, I didn't think they had it in them, to be fair.
No, but maybe that was us, maybe it was them, I don't know. But a really fun game to watch. It was actually me and my dad were watching it, and we were both like, this is probably the most enjoyable game of football we've seen for quite a while.
Mm.
Even the ones that we've kind of won before. Mm. It was just good to watch. We seemed to want to play a good brand of football. We actually looked to attack. We weren't a case of just keep it tight. So, a really positive end of the year. Like I said, I know we're going to talk later on about the season as a whole. It felt like a party atmosphere as such, and they generated it. still never, ever going to understand the attendance situation. I'm never going to get my head around it. Watching it at home, not a chance. Was there more people there yesterday or Saturday than there was against MK? Not a chance. Not a chance. That can't have been the capacity or the highest attendances this year. That is a total nonsense.
I've given up, Dan Carey.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I understand.
This is the thing. People say to me, why don't you raise more stuff? Like, we raise it and then we get knocked back from people about it. And there's only so much you can do, keep raising it. And at the end of the day, you're right. I couldn't get tickets where all my mates were. So I had to get two separate tickets near the scoreboard area. I got to the game. I didn't sit in my tickets because there was pretty much a whole row empty where I was. And I get it. We have to rely on season tickets to sell their tickets back. But if the deal's not good enough, if you're getting 20% back, what's the point? You know what I mean? You're not getting much back. I know the club can sell them on again and stuff, but yeah, there was no way that game was sold out. Walsall didn't sell out there and either, like,
But that's the thing for me, and like I said, I don't want to harbour too much of the point of it, but I'm never going to understand why you would do your... It's not called sale, it's called attendances. What today's attendance is, that's the line. It's not... Today's sold tickets are, fine, attendances, how many people go through the door. Now, whether or not that's just a pain in the arse for people... Because it used to be, didn't it? The old bloke on the turnstile. Yep. That's me.
And we've had a go at other clubs for doing the exact same, yeah. Giving away free tickets. You know, there's a certain club that we always have a go at their attendances. Their attendance is poor, to be fair, for that big stadium. But I kind of agree. I just think that we should do it on attendances. My opinion of it is that I think it's to make us look better than we actually are.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's to, again, everything to do with AFC Wimbledon sometimes is about someone's ego or the club's ego. And yeah, that for me is a bit of an ego rub to say, oh, look, we're getting 9,500 every week when we're actually not really. Do you know what I mean? On paper, we are. But as you said,
we are currently a selling seats. Club, aren't we? We're selling. We're constantly on the sale. Rightly so in our predicament. So if they feel that by saying we've got those amount of people in, and that's what we want to do, and it nudges us up to fourth in the... Look at us in the home attendances. We've got the fourth top in the league. All right, well, if that's what they think is the seller, then you know, it is. But for me, it's just, yeah, watching it, I was like, there is not a chance that this is the highest selling game this year.
No.
Over MK, over Ipswich. It's mental. But a really good game to finish. Nice to not draw a line, nice to finish the season strong after a little bit of a disappointing bit. And again, I think it just leaves a few what could have been, so that you have a lot of seasons, but this year in particular. But also a lot of hope for next year, but I think we're going to come to that shortly.
No, I agree. I said it was one of my most enjoyable games this season. I said it was annoying that we took the foot off the gas. I think that's what we did. We just let them play and they played really well. And we had a bit more of an identity, a bit more of a game plan. And that's what we want to see next year. I don't want us to be going hoofball. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
I mentioned on Twitter the other day regarding, I think it's, what's his name, Smith, not Harry Smith, the other Smith. I got mixed up with two of them the other day. But if we sign one of them, people are going, we're just going to play hoofball again, which I don't really want to see next season. I want to see the football that I saw at the start of the season. When we had Ali, I want to see some of the football that we had against Walsall last game of the season, because, again, I think there is a serious player there in Josh Kelly. I think he and Bugle can do something next year with another Tay 2 coming in, but we have to play to their strengths because we haven't done that in recent weeks. Swindon, places like that where we've lost and been beaten quite easy, it has been disappointing.
I think what we've really missed out on, mate, is a bit of football culture in terms of what we're still 2 years under Jackson, and bar the beginning bit with Ali, which I felt it was quite clear what we were trying to do. Feel like we're still not quite sure what kind of a team we are. Still don't know how it feels like at the moment our team is based around getting a throw in anywhere in their half, whereas Saturday was actually moving the ball quickly, looking to, you know, use the spaces where we could. I just feel like now we're in a point where we need to have, right, this is how we're Wimbledon. and this is how we play. We play on the front foot. We're looking to do this. We're looking to do that. I don't really care what it is as such, although it would be nice to kind of have a team that was on the front foot rather than the way we've been. Yeah, I mean, as I said, I think it bodes well for next year. I think 10th place is not something I'm particularly upset about. I think at the beginning of the year I said 16.
It's a tough one for me.
But it is, like you said, it is a case of, oh my God, we're only 5 points behind Crawley. What could have been?
Yeah.
And there's so many games. And I know, let's be blunt, every team in the country goes, that could have been that one. That could have been that one. But when you think about the penalties, the really naff performances, like the one at Crawley at home, and the general style of play, had we just been a bit braver, had we just been a little bit more, come on, let's take the game to them, who knows?
I totally agree. And I think we need to look at it. I said to you, I always had to look at it at the end of the season, because there was a point where we could have finished 16th or we finished 10th. And 10th overall, you look at it and think, yeah, that's a pretty decent finish. But our standards are so low for me, and we really need to start upping our standards and our expectations, because, as I said, me and you both said last year, like, hopefully we'll finish 15th, 16th. Do you know what I mean? Because the year before was so bad, and people are saying now, well, 10th's good. Look, it's better than before. But then when you sign the players that we've signed this year, we didn't know much about Joe Lewis. We didn't know much about Johnson. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. We didn't know if Jake Reeves could still dictate like he has done. Some of the players that have come in and done really well. Ali, we didn't know at the start of the season if he would bang goals in like he did. And your expectations change as the season goes on. And I bet it's changed for Crawley, because most everyone had Crawley at finishing rock bottom. Forest Green going straight back up. Do you know what I mean? So your expectations change, going, well, actually, I want to stay up now. And then they go, well, we actually want automatic. And I think we need to up our standards more than anything as fans, as a club, and as a management team. We need to go, right, we've done a decent season now, so next year we really need to kick on again. Yep. Because we can't keep going, oh, it's bad a couple of years ago, so this is better. No, we need better than next year. And I want automatics next year with the spine we already have and some of the players that hopefully we can get in. Yeah, I just think you look at it, 10th was good. But yeah, for me, this was a playoff squad. It's a massive missed opportunity. We've missed a lot of penalties this year that could have turned into points. There's been games like Sutton on Boxing Day, Crawley. Yeah. There's been games recently, as I said, Swindon. There's been a couple of nil-nils and boring games where we haven't really gone after teams. And yeah, hopefully that changes.
I think you're right. I think what you summed up beautifully there is the fact of, I guess, this year, I'll be honest, I have very little expectation. And I said, I think at the start of the year, we finished 16th, we finished 10th. I think the balancing act for next year is that there will be an expectation. I am expecting us to be in the playoffs next year with what we've got, with the fact of league, the money that we're going to probably free up, and the kind of players that we would like us to potentially be involved with, there is going to be a decent chest, you'd think. Plus, let's be honest, Ipswich are a point away from a potential $750,000 as well. Whether we'll see that, I don't know, but that is an option. I do feel like with, again, you know, we're talking about Bromley or Solihull Moors coming up. Are they they're not going to come through. They'll come up and be okay-ish. If it was Barnet, I might have been like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Team coming down, I'm not worried about them either.
Yeah, I just feel like the league next year is going to be as weak a league as we're going to have.
Yep.
And I feel that with what we've got now, if you take away whatever, I can't see Crawley being as good this year as they were next year as they are this year. I think Barrow are now going to hit the wall. I can't see them sort of carrying on. Crew will always be there. MK Dons will be the MK Dons. But
stop calling them that.
That's what their name is.
Oh, mate. Right. Really annoyed me there with that. Right. And Barrow will still be there about it because they always are. They did it a year, I think, last season. They didn't get to the playoffs, but they were up there and then they dropped like a stone.
Yep.
Crew will. MK, will, if they don't go up, will be.
Obviously, Doncaster, the other team, who just gone on an absolute mental one.
Yeah, and I think Chesterfield will be all right when they come up. Altrincham or Bromley, I think they'll struggle. Solihull might be all right. I think Bromley will struggle. Just don't see how they're going to do a full-time league.
No.
I can't see how they can be a league team, to be fair, but that's just me. And the team's coming down. Carlisle will be amongst it. Port Vale will be amongst it. I think the other two, Fleetwood might even drop now because they're in their chairman in jail or something. They've got a bit dodgy up there, haven't they?
Well, like Morecambe as well.
They could be going out of administration and be on
minus
points. So, yeah, the league next year is a lot weaker. So, yeah. Shall we move on, Danny? We'll come back to our retained list. We'll discuss some of the players that are leaving. As you said, freeing up wages. We can go through that. And, yeah, we'll come back in a minute.
The Wombles had a dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
We're back and we're going to be discussing the retained list that came out on the 29th of April, which I believe was Monday. So I'll go through the players that have been released. The release was Quain Bartley, Marcel Campbell, Josh Hallard, Paul Callanby, Ben Mason, Alex Pearce, Harry Pell, Zach Robinson and Nick Zanev. Loans obviously going back are Kofi Bulmer, Alex Bass, John Kamani Gordon and John Jarrett-Tool. We've offered first year pro contract to Kai Jennings, Harry Sidwell, Leo Young. We're offering a contract to Ronan Curtis. We've offered new contracts to Huss Biller, Lee Brown, Amani Little, Nathan Sutcliffe. We've activated Jack Curry's contract. And then we've kept Ball, Bugle, Davison, Johnson, Kelly, Lewis, Locke, McLean, Nurfield, Nightingale, Ogundia, Reeves, Sasu, Tilly and Williams. Danny, if I start with the released, is there any shocks on there for you that you thought?
No.
Oh.
No, I don't think so, mate. I think we all kind of knew Pell and Pierce. I think deep down, if we're really honest, we knew Zanev was going to go as well. He's got to go. And I feel for him because the year we got relegated, he wasn't brilliant. But I think there's an okay keeper there. I don't think he's going to struggle finding another club. But I think he's at a time of his career where he really should be playing and
I've seen some, not mad takes as such, but some people saying we should have kept him as our number two, which is easy said and done because Nick Zanev was a number one in League One. I know we got relegated, but he was a number one. And he was okay, I thought, as a keeper. I think he's okay.
Yeah,
I don't think he's a League One keeper, but I think...
I don't see him and go, oh, God.
No, and the problem is he made some big errors when we got relegated, which I don't think helped him. The one against Fleetwood's massive. But yeah, I think he hasn't played all season, the last couple of games, but he hasn't been. If Bass was fit, he would have been playing. What we've got to remember with some of these players as well, some of the ones that are left, that some of them have been here. It's like Paul Callanby.
Yeah.
Paul Callanby gets a bit of a bad rep because there's a mistake in there with him.
Yep.
I like it. I thought last year he was our best centre-back. With him and Riley Taylor, they were brilliant and people loved him. Unfortunately, he suffers with injuries. And when you've got, we've signed people like Lewis and Johnson, they are a step up on Paul Callanby. Yep. But the geezer's been here since he was 8 years old. Put a video up on Instagram the other day and it didn't choke me up like where I was tears. But I thought, wait a minute, this kid has been here since youth team, Wimbledon. Do you know what I mean? He's a local lad. Let's remember some of these players who are leaving. Marcel, Josh Hallard, Ben Mason. They've been here since kids. Big talk about Ben Mason. I was quite shocked that he left. I know a lot of people don't know much about the youth, but there was big talk of him coming in as right back. But Harry Pell, there was no shock for me. He hasn't been amongst it, been injured. Zach Robinson was a strange one for me because we've missed out on a fee now because we could have sold him.
To be honest, the whole thing was a farce because he signed a contract and then went out on loan. I mean, the whole thing was... That is just Captain Cock-up, isn't it? That whole thing was rubbish.
I don't think we had... What's his name in it? Craig Cope at that time, did we? It seemed like we didn't have a director of football in. We didn't have a lot of players in at the time. And Johnny Jackson was like, oh, we haven't got... We've got like 10 players. Let's get this kid on a contract. They realised they didn't like his attitude, didn't like the way he probably presented himself, because that's what I heard. I like Zach. I thought he was a good striker. I once said that if he
good
played...
Good striker. You said he's got about a million goals, didn't he?
50 goals in the season if he played regularly. He's gone up to Scotland. I don't think it's worked out for him this time up in Scotland. Don't think he's banged goals here. I think he's been injured quite a lot. And I hope it works out for him. He's again another...
Yeah, 21 games, 3 goals.
Yeah, he's been injured quite a lot. I think he's another one. I hope it goes and does well. I can see him down in the Conference South, playing for a team and doing well. The weird one for me is not that he should have been released, is Pierce. He is the only one out of all the players, unless he's going to retire soon and make a retirement speech, has not sent a thank you message. Everyone else has gone, thanks for the memories, thanks to the club. He's the only one that hasn't done it, unless he doesn't do that kind of thing, and he's never done it. Just someone pointed it out the other day, and I just thought, well, yeah, he actually hasn't. Quayne Bartley, I forgot that he was even at the club. To be fair, I thought we released him a year ago. Didn't you?
He's not been able to mobilise himself in terms of his play. And he obviously came with like this sort of big rep and went on the telly and this sort of stuff, and he hadn't really done it.
And his attitude sucks as well. He went on loan, didn't he, and ended up in Dubai without telling the manager.
Yeah, I don't have any kind of qualm. Firstly, in terms of the messages online, I couldn't give a monkey's. It's lovely to hear people go, thanks for everything, and it's polite, and that's nice, but it's not... I'm not woke enough to be like, oh, you didn't send me something on Instagram and start kicking off. But you're right, it is quite unusual to do it. I think the one thing I would say with all of it is, let's be blunt, in terms of the guys that were released, I know you're going to come on to the other bits, that's not the end of our business. There's going to be a number of other guys who are probably, rightly, wrongly, going to move out.
This is the coal that we're getting now. You know, remember before when Craig Cope came in and said there's going to be a coal, and then we got rid of a few, and then we were all kicking off last year because the attitudes of the players suck, considering how bad it was last year. They come into the end of the season awards absolutely off their heads. Do you know what I mean? They were quite rude and stuff, and everyone was like, get rid of all these players. Do you know what I mean? This is now, I think, our kind of dead wood going. I think there's still some players that, as you said, will be gone. The loans, I wish them all the best. I hope to see John Joe Tall and Alex Vass back. I wouldn't be too fussed if I know we're talking about, people are talking about signing Barmer. I think he'd be a good option as a centre-back, never a right-back, and he's got his long throws. But if we don't sign him, I wouldn't be like upset about it, if you get what I mean. If we do, great. If we don't, it's not going to be the end of the world. I'd like to see John Joe Tall again. I like that kind of player. I like him. Spoke to him briefly on Saturday. Well, spoke to him and said hello and said, hope to see you back. And he said, hope so too. But they all say that, don't they? Bass is another one I'd love to see back, but I can't. I don't think we can, unless we get him on loan again.
I mean, the keeper one is weird. I know we kind of touched with Bass, with Zanev, but I just don't think you need to spend any money in the budget at all on a backup keeper, because we know what happens. Your keeper gets injured, you get an emergency loan, and you'll just get someone else. And I don't see the point of spending any money at all. I'd rather spend double the money on a quality keeper and have a kid as backup. You just go, can I have emergency loan? And there'll be loads of keepers out there who come in and do an okay job.
As you said before, there'll be a keeper that's third choice at, say, Millwall. Like George Long, for example, say he's first.
Yeah, that's Sanford, didn't we? Ryan Sanford, who came in.
He would have done an okay job if you needed
him.
Spend
the smallest amount
games.
Of money you possibly can, and spend as much as you can on your first choice keeper.
And loans always work for us in the fact that we talked about it before, Kelly Roos, even Nathan Trott, the big ones, Ramsdale, Bass, you can always get a decent keeper. There are rumours we might be trying to get Alex Bass back on loan next year for another season, because he's got a year at Sunderland.
You'd have to ask the question, definitely.
And I think Sunderland will go, no, actually,
I don't blame him.
He won championship, but he's only got a year left, so it might absolutely be them saying, well, where do you want to go? You're not going to be at the end of next year, so it's up to you now. And they might not care, but they might say, we're not paying his wages anymore. You've got to pay it for one more year. Do you know what I mean? But we'll have to, might be, as you said, ask the question.
You think there'd be a club out there who would either take him off them and go, look, if you're not bothered, we'll just have him.
It'd
be a free transfer.
I did hear a few more rumours Saturday regarding keepers.
All right.
So the Dorking one, Malley,
he's gone York.
He's going York, yeah. Someone else said that at the time. Someone said
of knowledge, he's off the York.
Yeah, because someone, I think Busman.
He was quite small as well.
He's 5'10". I wouldn't have him.
He's supposed to be, I mean, the guy at work, he works at, does coaching at Dorking. He thinks he's absolutely brilliant. But he said he's a northern lad. He's been offered to do at Dorking. He wants to go a bit back up north. And they reckon that York's the team that he's going to go to.
Yeah, I think my mate Crichton, Steve Adams, said about that, said York. But Gary Busman.
Head like a 50p piece?
Yeah, proper. That's why we call him Crichton, remember, from Red Dwarf?
Yeah, Red Dwarf.
That's exactly what he looks like. And then Gary Buss was saying, no, he's coming to us. But that, yeah, the other one was too loney, and I'm not 100% sure on these two. And it's Cox on loan.
No.
Or who's the other one we said?
He was Bristol Rovers this year. He's not going to come back.
The young lad we sold to Man City?
What, Spike Britz?
Yeah, Spike Britz on loan. Yeah, but I don't think we need that would help us or him.
I don't think it's also for them, their clubs. I don't think that's the way. What will happen is there'll be another. I think that a lone goalie is the way to go.
I do. Yes.
I think that's the deal breaker for me. But I don't think we need to be keep looking. The obsession continues with AFC Wimbledon fans wanting old.
Why is this, Dan? It drives me mad.
It's just familiar. It's familiarity
on social media. It literally is. Sign Lyle Taylor. Sign Joe Piggott. Sign Spike Britz. Any old player like Mehmet's getting mentioned now, bringing him back and stuff. Do you know what I mean? It's just mad to me that we don't. Do you know what I mean? Why have we got this obsession? Joe Piggott and Lyle Taylor are not good enough for AFC Wimbledon at this time, right?
Particularly for what we want to. I mean, I think either would be okay, but the amount of money we'd need to spend on them would be quite a lot, and what we're going to need out of
but
them.
Why
I'm not
is it
quite
Wimbledon
sure
fans
where what we need
can't get away also, from why old would they, players?
Why would Piggott know? I think I definitely feel like Taylor will play again for us. I know it sounds weird, but Cambridge, he's been sacked out of them. He'll want another gig. There's a League Two opportunity.
He scored in his first two games at Cambridge and done a riot.
I don't think there's a player that is super good enough, but what he is, though, is his experience. He's got enough about him to bring something to the party. But I think there's a better option for a more experienced player than Lyle Taylor.
Also, don't get me wrong, both of them go down in Wimbledon folklore, you know what I mean, for what they've done at the club. And this is no disrespect to what they've done previously. I just don't think we need them now. And I don't see why Wimbledon fans are so, what's it called? The mentality is always to bring old players back. You see it all the time. Someone said earlier about, I see someone the other day on Facebook saying about Ollie Palmer coming back. It's like, why would you bring Ollie Palmer back when you got Omar Bugle? Don't need.
I mean, let's
Ollie
be
Palmer.
Let's be blunt. Ollie Palmer wasn't particularly. He wasn't setting the world alight when we had him previously.
He had a bad attitude when he was with us. He went to the right club for his attitude, which was a celebrity. Do you know what I mean and stuff like that?
I mean, I'd like to think we would set our sights higher, but in terms of the release list, like you said, I think it was fair. I think Callum Bye needs a new start. I think Callum Bye will stay in the league. I think he'll be all right. I think he'll find a gig somewhere. He might have a bit of a change of scenery in terms of, oh, crikey, I've got to go here. He would be good for Bromley or Solihull, whoever came up. He'd be fine for them. He could quite easily do a job. Have you seen the goal from Kai Jennings, by the way, for Whitehall?
I was just about to say to you about the free, because Kai Jennings, that goal, that volley just touches it into the goal. I don't know what Whitehawk's levels. I think they're okay level for non-league, but
they're Ryman Prem. Yeah, they're right.
Yeah, Kai Jennings and Harry Sidwell's another one that people tell me about is going to be an absolute star. I don't know much about Leo Young. Not heard much about him, but Harry Sidwell and Kai Jennings.
The interesting thing from us is I think it will be interesting to see Sasu, Morgan, Jennings. The younger, those kind of young players, where they kind of fit and what we think of them in terms of, for me, I would like Williams to stay. I only saw him against Chelsea, but I think there is Reeves, Ball, Williams, and then ideally another two centre midfielders. I know we'll come into what we really want. One potentially being Armani Little, but if he hasn't signed now, not sure. It would be nice But it'll be nice to have them, and then we can decide whether we want to put them out on loan or not, I guess.
Morgan Williams has to step up next year, and he has to not get injured. I like him, like his family, but we've got Kai Jennings now, and I think it could be another Alfie Bendall situation, where Alfie Bendall was being talked about. Morgan Williams went, "See you later," and got ahead of him. Alfie Bendall's now playing for Eastbourne Borough in the Conference South, so he's found his level. Do you know what I mean? Considering everyone was going mad about him. Mick Dawes, Player of the Year last year, if he played every game. I just think Kai Jennings could now do the same to Morgan Williams and go, "I'm having that shirt, I'm going above you." Because what, this kid's 17 and looks a real deal. And Morgan Williams, he's had injury problems, which again ain't his fault, but you need to now get in that team. We need someone who's going to dictate play and drive forward with it.
I guess the good thing we have...
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Is when we were in the league, in League Two, the jump up is quite high.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
League One.
Yeah. So players were coming from the kids and being like, which is where Radoni did such a good job, kind of coming into League One and kind of getting in the mix of it. I guess now being in League Two, I mean, let's be blunt, Sasu, if we're in League One, he's probably released. He's probably struggling in terms of the quality of where he's at. At least our players now coming into a League Two environment means that it's going to be an easier opportunity to get involved. But the coaching and the standard of the players we've had as a group has probably stayed the same. So there's definitely more impact that those people are going to have.
He has a big season next year as well.
Who?
Sasu. Because I'm not overly enamoured about him. I don't think he's that great.
I like him a lot, but I think he's a winger. I don't think he's a centre forward. And I think that the early season promise of the Coventry game and he did well against Portsmouth, I think sets him up for quite a good year. I think that would be interesting. Go on.
The ones for me is the new contract. So we've offered Armani Little a contract.
Yep.
Ethan Sutcliffe, I know he's highly rated. Hopefully he'll sign a contract. Lee Brown, my understanding is that we offered Lee Brown not higher contract. I think he's either on same terms or we've offered him slightly lower terms. Again, he's got a business locally, so it makes sense for him to stay. Do you know what I mean? Pick up a bit here and there. Do you know what I mean? And know that he's going to be about it. Apparently his attitude has been spot on this year and he's good to have around the place. So we do need a bit of experience. And most people will say, again, I'm not... His shit has sometimes can annoy me, but he has been decent since he come in at centre-back. I wouldn't have him anywhere near left-back, unfortunately. He's got to be centre-back and good around the place. My feeling with Hasbilla, and this is just my opinion, my feeling, I don't know any insider information regarding this, I think we've offered him a contract because we have to. But he'll be off.
There's clearly something else going on. That they're not buying anything that anyone tells me about. Oh no, hit on Saturday. Only guy not to get on the pitch. We've got a load of lone players who we don't really care about. It's the last game of the season, and one of the guys you're thinking about keeping at the club.
Yep.
Is him. He's the one player that it's really annoying me. Because I really rate him. I really do. I know he's got some challenges defensively, but I think a really good summer, and we're going to lose Curry. But I think we're kind of with if you've got Biller back, you've got a kind of, I wouldn't say a light for light because they're different sides of the pitch, but Curry at his best, Biller at his best. I don't think the jump is as high, but I think that having Biller in would be stunning.
Biller for me is another Robinson situation. I don't think his attitude's been spot on, from my understanding, with the management team. Don't think they've been overly keen on some of the stuff that he's done with regards to not being fit enough or not getting himself fit enough, and his attitude's not great. So my feeling is we've done the thing where we've had to offer him a contract, and then if he doesn't accept it and he goes off elsewhere, we get compensation for him. I don't think we'll see Huspiller in a women's shirt again next season. But I could be totally wrong. I never use Yam, but as you said, he didn't come on again on Saturday. And as I said,
there is a terrific player there.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, early the season, he was an absolute shoo-in.
The fact that he hasn't been near it since MK, and I know he was not great against MK, and he got sent off, but he hasn't been near it since then. And that's months ago. And there has been opportunities where he could have come in at right back. Do you know what I mean? He could have, you know what I mean? And he hasn't. So.
I mean, Ogonde also being pretty solid without being too wow. I think Biller's low points are lower than Ogonde's, but he's higher. He's just more inconsistent on his range.
I do wonder what they're going to do next year. Say my feeling is correct, and Biller does leave, or he doesn't sign a new contract. We've only got Ogonde as our only right back. He doesn't give us the outlet going forward.
No. Well, we'll come to the next.
And I don't know if there's much in the youth, but so we've offered the option on Jack Curry's been activated.
He's not going to play, is he? He's definitely gone. Championship, I've heard.
Yeah, I've heard his moves already pretty much done.
He would be really good at like Portsmouth or a QPR or a lower Sheffield Wednesday. That kind of level.
It's a shame because he's such a good player, such a good lad.
Yeah.
Anytime, again, this is some of the stuff that the club does really annoy me, but not having him on more interviews, not having him, do you know what I mean, speaking more and doing stuff like the interview we did before MK with Aaron at the award ceremony was just spot on. The other day when they had him, who was it? Brown and someone else, and he swore. And they will take the mic, and he just, you know what I mean, just have him on everything, really. He's so good to and it's wicked to listen to. But
it's also, Lee, to be blunt, we have to sell him on the fact of we have to show players this is what we're about. We're about getting a player up, and then the championship's there. And with Radoni, Alhamadi, we've
got Asau.
We're showing, I'm not going to say Palmer as such, but there are. We're clearly showing players come to Wimbledon, play well. You know, Piggott at Ipswich, Taylor to a certain extent. We will move players on to good championship if Ipswich get to the Premier League, it's just such an important thing to go, look at this player, look where he is. It's a really important thing for us to do. So, unfortunately, like I said, I like him a lot. I think he's great. But I'd be questioning him if he wasn't wanting getting a move.
We also have the debt, and we have to sell £1 million worth of players every season, isn't it? Something like that. I think it's
that's what they say. But if you think about how many we'd have got that money already.
No, I know. I'm just saying. But we also, I don't know where we're selling players next year at the moment, Dan. Say we sell Jack Curry in the summer. I'm hoping one of them will step up. Kai Jennings, Morgan Williams, Josh Kelly. But they might not step up. They might not be able to make it now. And we've not got much in there that I'm thinking, yes, we're going to make £1 million off.
Yeah, so, but if we get promoted, we won't need to make the
million. No, I'm just saying. But if we don't, you know what I mean? So the people that we've kept, there's two names that jump out at me. Everyone else is fine. The two names that jump out at me that won't be here next year, Will Nightingale.
Definitely not, sadly. And that is a real shame because I think everyone quite likes Will Nightingale. But I just can't legislate to keep him. And again, if you're going to keep Nightingale for the sheer volume of games, he, to me, I don't know where you sit. Sadly, I can't see him getting to 32. He's injured every year. Every year for
yeah
half the season. Like there's not going to be loads of clubs that are going to genuinely take a punt on him. Well, unfortunately,
it's going to be a sad day when he leaves because again, as I said earlier, he's a Wimbledon boy.
Fantastic.
He's been with us for years. He's captained us. Didn't he score our first goal or? He scored a header, didn't he? Somewhere I remember him scoring something that was quite memorable and an achievement for us. And yeah, and he's gone up to Scotland. And that was a big move for him, to be fair. Always been London based, got there and they love him up there at Ross County. He's been back. He was injured recently and he's come back for treatment. I said to you beforehand, I think the club missed a trick again with not getting a Will Nightingale interview when he's been back. Do you know what I mean? He's still a Wimbledon player. He's still a Wimbledon. He'll go down as a Wimbledon legend for me. Unfortunately, again, he's not good enough if you look at the Joe Lewis's or the Johnsons. And unfortunately, he makes a mistake and stuff. But he was good for us when we were coming through non-league. He's been here since a kid. But why did the club not get him in, have a little interview with him and say, look, you're back, you're injured at the moment, you're back. How's your loan going up in Scotland? How are you finding Scotland? Do you know what I mean? And just how do you think the season's going to go for Wimbledon? You know what I mean? Yeah. These players are still ours. You could have interviewed him and let the fans know that he's still alive kind of thing. Other than that now, if he goes in the summer, it'd just be Will Nightingale's gone, see you later. And I just don't think that's a good way of saying goodbye to some of the players that have given us many, many good years and many good memories for me. So I think we could have done a little bit more for Nightingale when he's been back. Well, not four, but to get him back out to the fans. But the other one is Josh Davison. I think he'll be gone in the summer. I can't see how a striker stays when he's literally played, what, hardly any minutes? He looked awful when he came on against Walsall the other day as well. And he ain't signing. He ain't starting next year. Especially as they said, we're after two strikers already.
I don't know. I'm really torn with him because I know, like I said, I like him as a bloke and I think he works hard. I've never ever watched a game with Wimbledon gone, oh, he hasn't tried or he's not put a shift in. He just lacks the quality that we're going to need if we're wanting to go up. He, unfortunately, if he was genuinely going to stay and fight for a place, he's already never going to play over Bougiel and Kelly, and personally, I think that he'll be, if he wants to stay, we're going to get another forward, and I think he'll be the fourth striker. And I just, for where he's at in his career,
he's 23.
I think he gets another league gig somewhere. I don't doubt that for a minute. I think again he'll be another very good one. Right, you know, Bromley, you're coming up. You need a good centre forward. Davison would be a decent. He is fine in a bottom half team as your number one or number two. I think he's okay. But for us, if we've got the aspirations to go up, sadly, I just don't see him, unfortunately, being in the squad. Whether he feels hounded out or pushed out or pressured, I don't know. But he hasn't really, apart from the game we saw with when he got the couple of goals against Colchester, apart from that, the whole year, it's basically been dodgy go at Crawley. Ali's been the one who's kind of dictated terms. I think it's right. I would add one more to that, by the way. I think there's one other guy.
Who's that?
What's his name's? McLean.
Oh, no. He hasn't had a chance. How can you? No, not having that at all.
I would.
Well, you can't release him now anyway. He's massively injured.
You can do.
But you
can't release him because he's in the contract, but you can, just like Davison and stuff, Davison would go for free. We'd say, look, we're all right. If you want the go, go.
The contract with Davison will be ripped up. I think it'd be a mutual consent and it'd be ripped up.
That'd be the same for him.
And as a 23-year-old striker who's played for Charlton, who's played for Swindon and played for us, he needs to be looking at his next move. I think you're being very, very harsh on McLean. He's come from non-league. He was doing a full-time job in recruitment this time last year. Do you know what I mean? Playing for Hereford.
Are we going to get promoted with him in our squad playing 15 games? No. Yeah. Sadly, he could quite easily go. For me, if he doesn't be released, that's fine, but he's gonna go out on loan.
Yeah, I agree. It's like Paris Lock. Paris Lock's under contract.
Yeah, he's another one.
He's not starting games for me at the moment. He needs another loan again. He got injured. So again, these players like Morgan Williams, Paris Lock, they need to stay fit. Paris Lock needs another good loan next year, because I think he had a good loan, but then got injured. And he needs to go out on loan again. Ryan McLean, unfortunately, he's just had a really bad injury at first start. Hopefully he'll come back fit, go on loan, and shut, because his first loan wasn't a great loan at Kidderminster. They weren't raving about him. And I even think Morgan Williams, depending on who we sign, might need a loan as well for the first 3 months of the year.
I think he definitely needs a loan.
And then we've not got a big squad at the moment. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We've got 9 players out of
We know that in the summer loads go out and loads come in. There's a huge turnover every year.
So at the moment, we've got about 11. We've got 11 players. That's fine. My mate said the other day we need 14.
What, 25 players?
That's a lot of players we need to sign.
It is. But,
with players going on loan, players coming in. The other one we haven't mentioned yet, and we'll mention him because I said we're going to time. I think you're bit harsh on McLean there. Ronan Curtis. I don't think he'll sign.
No, I don't think he'll sign.
Because his message on Instagram the other day sounded like he was off.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'd want to spend the money on him that he probably wants. Because he's a bit of a luxury player, as you said earlier. He'll score a goal out of nothing and there'll be one of the goals. And if he's going one-on-one or if he's having a goal. But he don't do enough for me during the whole of the game. He's still not 100% fit. I don't know if a full preseason will help him. I just don't know if we can throw the money at him that he probably wants.
I agree. Totally agree. If he was in line with like Joe Lewis or Johnson on that kind of money. But let's face it, right? I'm just massively speculating, but I'd have thought at Portsmouth he'd be on a good whack.
Yeah,
probably double, maybe 5, 6, 7 thousand pound. Maybe I would have thought. I think he's that kind of footballer. We can't get near that. And really, I personally
wouldn't want to.
Don't if you think that. If I mean, it'd be interesting to know who our highest earner is, and what that is. But say this year's highest earner was 2,500.
I reckon it's more.
I don't think Curtis has done enough to match that. I think he's a solid player. I think the thing that's annoying with him is, my God, he can score a goal. And he's scored some very important goals. And there's no argument with him in the squad. He's going to win your games of football and he's going to gain your points. But in those clutch games, if the goal scoring opportunity doesn't present itself, he hasn't really assisted. I haven't seen enough of the other bits and pieces. I think he's been a good signing. I think he's been decent. And I guess many would argue that the hardest thing to do is score goals. And he's done all right on that. But I wouldn't be breaking the bank on him.
No,
unless I had a proper summer of, right, come on, let's get you fit. Let's get you sorted.
I reckon our main earner, and this again is no insider information here, just my feeling, is it's probably around about the 5 grand mark.
No, can't be.
I reckon so.
There's no chance on earth we're paying 5 grand for anyone. Who do you think that is?
Reeves, Lewis. I reckon so. It's got to be between 3.5 and 5k. It's not over 5, but yeah, I reckon about that. That's not me knowing anything, Dan. I don't know. I have no idea what our players are worth, but I just think at this level, you don't get Reeves dropping down from Stevenage. You don't get Lewis dropping down from Stockport and giving them 2 grand a week. It just doesn't happen.
I think it'd
be between 3.5 and 5 grand for them two. Do you know what I mean?
And what, together?
No. Or each. I don't think you get Reeves travelling from Swindon every day on 2 grand. I don't think you get Lewis coming from Stockport.
I think you might do if you're offering for Reeves, you're offering him a 2 or 3 year deal where he knows, okay, I'm guaranteed this amount of money. he's on the slide anyway.
Maybe three and a half.
Lewis is a slightly different conversation.
I'd say $3,500 there, maybe tops, but maybe I think even pushing that.
I don't think unfortunately wouldn't have put Curtis at that level.
I can't have Curtis at anything above that, unfortunately.
Who knows?
Right.
But it's going to be an interesting summer.
It will be. Right, we're back. Danny's going to give us the... when we're back, Danny's going to give us who won the prediction league. I think we know who that is. We'll talk about what we need next season. And that's it, really. Well, we'll be back in a minute.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
So we're back for the final part, and we're going to be discussing the prediction league. Quickly go through that, because that's quite an easy one. And then we'll go through what we need next year to make us a automatic promotion team, and we'll make some early predictions. So, Danny, come on in. Put us out of our misery. Announce me as the winner of the prediction league. I said that I would win it easy, to be fair.
Well, firstly, I want to thank all 164 people. 164. And they're the only ones who actually wrote their names properly. We've got a lot of other random Tractor Trev and God knows what else. 164 people entered this footballing odyssey. That is the predictions. I'm just going to read out some names from sort of 25 points up. Or 24, actually, because I like Jonathan Arle. So Jonathan Arle, Sean Goldfinch, well done, 24 points. Steve Palmer, the Palm Dog, he's on 25. Alex Eastwell, Ricky Smith, he's on 26. Then we get to the bread and butter of it. Then we get to the what I would call the big guns. Alex Eastwell, 26. Ricky Smith, 26, as said. Terry Warman, Alex Butler, fantastic efforts on 29. But then we're Champions League places here. And this is where, you know, you separate the wheat from the chaff, the ones that can and the ones that don't. Why have you interrupted me mid-flow?
Because I've not heard your name yet.
What do you mean my name?
Your name, are you in it?
I was absolutely cruising, and I decided that it would be inappropriate for one of the hosts to sort of win and claim it. I've got so much more about me than that. anyway, so in-betweener, Joe, he got 30 points. Busman's Holiday, third place. Obviously tried to bribe Lee with a win at the football with a pint of Guinness, but in second place, the moral winner, Richard Stobbs, 31 points, and your winner, Lee Finch. Top of the predictions. It's absolutely sickening that you've taken that, you're that involved. And I genuinely wish it was all fake. If anybody has vaguely lost their mind and wants to see what arguably one of the most pointless spreadsheets known to man, you are very welcome. But congratulations, Lee, on a sterling season's effort. There we are.
Oh, easy work, mate. Easy work.
Say something arrogant. Go on.
Nah, just I've done it every
Stay
week.
Humble. Stay humble.
I've done it every week. And obviously, the cream always rises to the top. At the start of the season, you were giving it to me because I was behind you in the leaderboard. You obviously got a bit bored.
It's all about the kids for me now.
I'd like to thank everyone for taking part. Taking part is for losers. It's all about the winning, which I've done. Unfortunately, the work experience couldn't get near me either. And
trophy's in the post, yeah?
I've won it easy.
I've got you one of their massive MTV old awards like we spoke about the other week.
Yeah, easy work for me. Yeah, I'm pretty chuffed, to be fair. What can you say? I don't think I can say much more other than, next year we go.
All I would say is next year, whoever is in it, we're definitely going to change the way that we do it. I'm not doing it again in this format. It is an absolute shocker to do it again in this way. Work experience, Joe, as usual, has done a great job, has made my life a lot simpler. We've gone, I'm going to do this and do that. It's a lot easier. I'm going to make his life a lot easier and just try and find some sort of random program where I can just put the scores in and get on with it, and people can upload the scores in advance.
I also, yeah, I'd like to say thanks to you, Dan, for doing it. You took it on. You start seeing you had this idea. You do come up with bright ideas.
I've got loads, mate.
You come up with this, and then you realise pretty soon on that it was going to be quite hard work.
I didn't quite realise, genuinely, I think it was the second or third week, because we had a good start. I think after the Sutton game, we had something stupid like 89 or 90 people entered it. And it's fine if Wimbledon lose, because most people wouldn't ever say Wimbledon are going to lose. But when it's like 1-0, when everyone's got 3 points, it's like, oh my God. Like, yeah, 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 yeah. And I do every person, every game, what they've got. Yeah, so quite the piece of work. But congratulations, mate. Well done.
Yep, thank you very much. And what I'm going to do is, I think it's only right. Obviously, I can't award myself a prize as the host and founder of the Wombs Had a Dream podcast. So what I'm going to do, Richard Stobbs, if you'd like to give us a contact us by a private message, and we'll sort you out what we said we would, a shirt, because you are top of the fans.
You are so noble.
So, yeah, it's the only thing I can do. I will sort you out.
In a world full of madness, kill him with kindness.
Richard,
look at you.
Yeah, Richard Stobbs, well done for coming second. Give us a message. We'll sort you out. And
do you want to send him an autograph as well? Maybe, you know. When's your book out?
What? How to Win a Prediction League?
How to Win a Prediction League.
Unbelievable techers for me. Oh, quite happy. Quite happy.
Anyway,
I'm so chuffed.
Moving on to how to win next year. What are we going to need player-wise? With what I reckon is probably a relatively decent Arsenal, what are we going to need to go
up? I'll give you one.
And let's talk about going up.
I'll give you one. So, you know, we talked about Curtis earlier and we wouldn't throw our money at him.
Yep.
I'm throwing my money.
Oh, God.
And I'm quite intrigued to see, hopefully, he's not on a return. He's been let go by a certain club. But Lemony Evans, I'm signing him. And I know we said earlier about signing ex-players and stuff, but he was on loan this season. And I think people don't realise what an impact it has, not just losing Ali, but was losing him. His leap for headers, his crossing. I think he got as many goals as Curtis. Very similar to Curtis, but I think he's slightly better, fitter. And he's someone I definitely would be looking to sign if we can get him in, which I'm hoping that we can. And another one I'd be looking at, and again, it's an ex-loanee this season, is Lakin. We need that kind of attacking threat up in our midfield. And he scored quite a few goals, I think, for a pretty poor Sutton team. I think it was about 7 goals he got in the end, wasn't it? Or he was involved in goals. Try and get Tolage from Aldershot, the young striker. And then maybe a Premier League striker or Championship striker that we can get in. And do a job for us. Or maybe get Ali in on loan, because he ain't going to be playing in the Premiership.
Oh, my God. We've literally just spoke about this.
What? Ex-Wimbledon?
Incredible.
Well, Lemony Evans and Lakin ain't really ex-Wimbledon. They were here this season.
Yeah, but they don't play for us now, do they?
No, but it's different.
You
it's not
are,
like,
you are
it's
something
not like
else,
been,
mate.
It's not like they've been gone for 10 years. They're old.
Do you want me to check if Brett Johnson and Jamie Stewart are available?
It's not like they haven't scored a goal in 10 years and everyone's going, get them back because they're going to be excellent. No.
Absolute
these are
shambles.
Players who are on form in this league this year. Anyway, they're the three I would try and sign. You?
We need to get a lone goalkeeper.
Well,
who is very, very good.
Well, we need a goalkeeper, to be fair.
Yeah, but we need to spend some money on a really, really good goalie.
Yep.
We need 2 fullbacks, left and right.
Yep.
Both young up and down merchants. We need another centre midfielder, even if we do get Armani Little, to put a bit of pressure on the two of them, because, in my opinion, we've gone a bit stale there. We need 2 strikers.
Yep.
One gamble on a non-league, we'll have a punt, someone strong, quick, and then a marquee kind of, this is the guy that's going to score us goals, low-end championship, maybe middle of League One at worst. I wouldn't be buying the bloke from Salford Smith. He wouldn't be my kind of bloke. I'd be looking more interested at the guy who was at Accrington, Dat Smith. Really quick, really sharp. Just someone who's going to scare the life out of you defensively-wise in terms of how quick we are. They're the essentials. Two forwards, a centre midfielder, two fullbacks and a keeper. We're going to need another, at least, if we're going to get promoted, we're going to need two wingers as well. One. If you're after Lemony Evans, we're going to need another one because Tilly died off the face of the world and so did Nerfield.
Yeah.
And the controversial bit now. Should the most expensive signing be a new manager?
Well, we're not getting rid of Johnny now.
No, we're not. But all I'm saying to you is, I was talking to my dad about it. He said, what would you do? He said, if I'm honest, he said, I would, the most amount of money I'd spend, he said, is I'd say, Jackson, thank you. And I'd spend the money on a top manager.
Or who's a manager. A top manager, though?
Well, I'd be thinking of somebody who's probably managed a little bit in the sort of championship, maybe sort of middle of League One, but had a decent amount of success at it.
So Gareth Ainsworth.
I'm not overly keen on Ainsworth, but he's going to get another gig somewhere. So somebody like him, that kind of ilk of a manager. Put this way, in my heart of hearts, not to be too controversial to end, because it's not about that, but I feel like had we had a better manager, we'd have gone up. I don't think the players have been the problem. I think we've had a difficulty in the management situation. I'm happy with Jackson because I'm happy with where we're at. And I think that next year, he either gets promoted or we move to somebody else. I think he's probably aware of that as well, to be fair. If we're not going to get in the playoffs, I think that is his race run, which is bold, but I think that's where we're kind of at. But I think there will be a decent manager available. Crawley showed by spending the money on a good manager how the impact that can happen. You know, there are hundreds of examples all over.
Yeah, I agree with that because Crawley let a lot of their players go in the summer. Neeston, players like that.
And let's be,
signed from lower leagues. They signed from the French second division.
Yeah,
and they've got a decent manager. I kind of get your point with regards to if we had a better manager, I think we would have got playoffs this year. I'm not so sure on the managers that are out there at the moment. I don't think Gareth Ainsworth is the answer. We're fed up with Hoofball now, let alone Gareth Ainsworth coming in.
No, like I said, I don't.
Arriving every 2 minutes and then we're just going long.
But as example, you're talking about somebody like him, somebody like, what's the bloke I'm thinking of? Somebody who, like for instance, the Millwall guy now, Neil Harris, he's going to be released. There's going to be somebody who,
Neil Harris is at Cambridge.
No, he's not. No, Gary Monk's at.
Oh no, Cambridge! You went to Millwall, didn't he, Neil Harris? Yeah. People were going to go.
Chris Powell, that kind of bloke.
No, he hasn't been in the game for ages, man. I'm managing a game. You know who would be good for us, but he's an absolute scumbucket. Someone like he's not going to because he's just signed for Robin, but Steve Evans.
Steve Evans, yeah.
Because people won't like him because he's
he is who he is. I can't stand a bloke.
No, and his assistant, but he would get us promoted with this squad.
Yeah, he
100%.
Would do.
I get your point. I think it's a big 10, 15 games at the start of season for Johnny Jackson because I think most Wimbledon fans have got a lot of faith in Craig Hope because I don't think he's done anything wrong this season. Some of the players we've signed have been absolutely excellent. His loan contacts have been excellent. Bass, Lemony Evans, even when we had Lakin and people like that. Do you know what I mean? To bring in Ali for nothing and to sell him for near enough if they get promoted, it'd be about £2.5 million, which is massive. Bring Kelly in for £200,000-£300,000. If he sets the world on fire, he'll be gone again for £1 million. I've got a lot of faith in Craig Cope he's going to put a good squad together again next year.
Yeah.
And as I said, I think it's going to be a big 10, 15 games for Johnny Jackson because we can't start the season how we've ended it again because it's been poor up until Walsall and we need to start firing. We need to get Tilly back firing. We need Nurfield to get in amongst the goal action, goals or assists. Do you know what I mean? And we need to start doing that. You're talking about fullbacks. Maybe Nurfield's going to be the wing back with Ogundeyi next year, and we might get another winger in instead. Depends on how we look at it. As I said, at the moment, I think we've got about 9 players in our squad, and we do need some players to come in. And we'll use our loan market again, I think, goalkeeper. And I don't know where else we use it, because if you sign loan players at the start of the season, a lot of them come in with conditions that they have to play games. And yeah. I'm not overly big fan of that. But yeah, I think it's going to be an exciting season next year.
It's going to be brilliant. I'm genuinely actually quite looking forward to it already. And as I said, it's a weird one because I feel like Jackson's done enough this year. And I think the added pressure and the build-up, I guess it would just be that first signing. Like last year, we had Reeves, didn't we? And the whole fan base was like, oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
I feel like they must have got some of their business already done.
I've heard the Benidorm trip is on again this year. Okay. So the Benidorm preseason, that would be around about the beginning, first week or second week in July. And last year, we wanted to get most of our business done before they went on that trip to make sure that they were all embedded together. Do you know what I mean? They had that morale. Do you know what I mean? And from a trip like that, they're meeting the fans. We all know what Benidorm brings. That kind of trip's going to hopefully lift the players again. So hopefully we'll get a lot of business done by then. And yeah, we can go again next year. I'm looking forward to it. As I said, I've got season tickets next year. I think it could be a really exciting league for us. I don't see the league being that competitive as this year. And hopefully I want to be amongst the automatic promotion and guaranteed playoffs. That's what I want. And I am predicting we'll make the playoffs, but Johnny Jackson won't be in charge.
All right.
That's my early predictions.
Interesting from you. I think we'll be in and around the playoffs, but I feel like next year is a very important year, because I feel like if we don't manage it next year, then it might get trickier, because some of the bigger players will have to replace, and it might be a new manager, and there'll be lots more cultures. I do feel like it's a really, really big year, but I'm backing everyone, and I think we'll be in the playoffs. I mean, we should really be closer to the top of it, but I think we're almost certainly in that we should, looking at all the other clubs and those who've got money and those who haven't and their priorities, I feel like we should be a squad that is competitive. And I feel like it'll be interesting to see where we're at and how ambitious we are with the kind of players we buy.
I agree.
All right. Well, that is it.
Well, that's it. That's the season. Season done. Another season done for us. I think that's what, 4 years now. Podcast has been going. Next back.
That is mental. You did it the first year. 4 years. Yeah. Wow.
Only 4 years. But yeah, I'd like to take moments just to thank everyone who listens, everyone who joins in, the Sunday debriefs, everyone who takes part. Most of the time, it's Jonathan Yule, our friend over in the States. Massive respect to him, always joining in. Massive Wimbledon fan. Mick Dore runs the Alex. Thanks to him for always taking part in the debriefs. Again, the debrief doesn't work unless people get involved, and people have this year. Hopefully, I'll be bringing them back next year and doing them more often. It's just depending on work and when I've got the kids and stuff, and take my oldest home. Massive thanks to Joe Moja for helping with all the graphics and being on the WOD Media side. He does an absolute superb job. Again, thanks to everyone for listening, taking part. It means a lot. Massive thanks to you, Danny, for joining me every week, unless I'm ill or something happens. But yeah, I do appreciate everything that you put into the podcast. Wouldn't be the same without you. Thanks to everyone.
Shut up, you big flirt.
Thanks for me for winning the prediction league.
Thank you. Thanks for showing us the way.
And who else do I need to thank, really? Gary Fletcher for sponsoring this season's pod. Unfortunately, Gary's sponsorship has ended. Might need to speak to him again. I think he might be putting an offer on the table. But if anyone does want to sponsor the podcast or they want to sponsor the Sunday debrief, get in contact. We can talk about what numbers that we're getting. I think it's around, we're getting around about an average of around about 1,000 plays per episode now. The debrief is tripled out, I think it is, regarding plays and replay. I don't know how Twitter works with regards to the plays and stuff, but we're usually getting around about 100 people listening live on the debrief. So if you want to get involved and sponsor the podcast, give us a DM or slide in and we'll talk numbers and we can get something sorted. But again, thanks to Gary Fletcher, season master, for your bifold doors and secondary glazing. Gary's a massive fan of Wimbledon and sponsors the club as well. And yeah, do appreciate him. Who else, Scout? Dan, do we have
well,
to?
Well, I think you deserve a huge amount of credit for what you've done in terms of how we do it. The one thing I'd always say to people who are listening is, come rain or come shine, whatever the situation in football, I'm grateful to those people who do. And I just wanted to remind the ones that don't that we're just two football fans who just chat. We're not censored. I wouldn't say that we don't care, but we don't really care about upsetting people. We'd rather just tell you an honest fan's appraisal. If that has offended anybody or you found it difficult, I'm not going to apologise. But I'm going to say that that is not our intention. Hopefully, one of our successes have been the fact that we will always be honest. Whether you're standing next to us on a touchline or you're doing anything else, we're just two blokes who enjoy watching Wimbledon, probably exactly the same as you guys who are listening. And some of the critique has been really, really good in terms of this is rubbish or can you do that. Some of it's been a bit hard to read at times and it's not been particularly fair, but we're big enough blokes to recognise the nature of what we do and that's going to come and give us feedback. The last plea for me is there are so many opportunities to come and be involved and it doesn't have to be anything. It could be just, I love this as an idea. Can you do it? So for instance, somebody messaged me randomly the other day and said, would it be wicked if, like last year, we did the portraits with players? What about doing all 92 with us having a selfie at each of those grounds? You know, you went to Cambridge, Wimbledon, show us it. If you went to Wimbledon, Plymouth, show us it. If you went to Wimbledon, Northampton, show us it. Just those kind of little...
That's a great idea. That.
Yeah, brilliant. Like I said, we could make like postcards, or Football League postcards or whatever. There's just loads of different things that we would love to hear. And if you don't necessarily like what you're hearing, give us some, you know, chuck us an idea. Send us a question, send us your thoughts. But we're basically, if you don't want to listen to it or you don't like it, we're just going to talk anyway. But I'm really, really pleased that you understand that what we've tried to create is a platform of honesty and a platform of no holds barred. We care about our club and we're going to give you an opinion. Doesn't mean it's right. And we're sorry for those people who believe that we're the oracles. We're not. We have got no inside information. But it's lovely to hear the feedback and to feel that people who are listening seem to enjoy what we do. That's lovely. So thanks ever so much for the support and the ongoing engagement. It really makes it easier to do it, because at times it can be quite tough with a lot of, you know, life going on. And well done you, mate, because you've had to brunt a lot of some of the feedback, the positive and the negative, and the sheer volume of time that you put in doing bits and pieces. Any time a tweet goes out or any time information goes out, it's basically you pushing someone else to do it. I don't do any of that at all. That's just on you. And I know thousands of people are better connected to their football club and in many ways have fallen in love with Wimbledon because of the fact they can get some context here, whether it's my brother in Australia, Jonathan in America, people all over the place. That's down to you. So well done, mate, on behalf of everyone who won't say thank you. I'm going to say thank you.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much. No problem. But yeah, we are still the only unofficial AFC Wimbledon podcast.
Look, you can't do that and then you don't finish it properly. So
we are
either you can't do it. You've got to either...
By the fans, for the fans, the only unofficial AFC Wimbledon podcast on the market. But no, I get what you're saying, Dan. And again, everyone who takes part... We get a lot of people that come on and agree with me and Danny. I'm actually looking for people that don't actually agree with us, who actually go, actually, I think you're wrong. And we've had a couple of them come on. But we're always welcome to everyone who comes on. If you don't agree with what we're saying, come on and debate it. We're not going to sit there and slag you off or have a go at you, but we'll debate and we'll listen to everyone's opinion. So it is what makes the podcast, in my opinion, so good, is that we will welcome everyone. That's why I think the debrief works well, because we have a number of different opinions. But you can't sit there saying that, well, I disagree with you. Come on and say it. Come on, talk to us. Do you know what I mean? So... yeah, it's been a better season this year. Let's hope next year we're talking about promotion. We're talking not negative on the pitch. I think that's the good thing this year. Negative on the pitch hasn't been as bad. And hopefully we'll get better next year on the pitch. And yeah, makes for a better podcast. But yeah, Danny, again, I appreciate everything you do, mate. Thank you very much.
No dramas. Thanks, everybody. Have a great summer.
Everyone, thanks again for listening, taking part. Anyone who's ever come on the pod, appreciate you. Yeah, have a really good summer. We'll see you in Benidorm. Take care. Up the Dons.
Oi, boy.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them, honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.